Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of The Cave Show. This is T.O.R. Happy Tuesday to everyone. Here to join me today here on The Cave Show. We have a lot of stuff to get into today. Why mess around? Let's just jump into it. The tank found a way. Before the end, Riverboat Ron. Definitely the end for the Panthers playoff hopes. Because they need this and this and sat into a line with Pluto on Pluto to bring around Mars and all that to happen. They ain't have it. Why does everyone in LA and every Lakers fan and LeBron fan feel that every team in the NBA should help them win a title? Find that out today. Get into that. Sun Devils took an L in Vanderbilt last night. Dropped 2 out of 3. Tough game, too. I don't think this will affect the Raiders. Ranking. Excuse me. All that and more coming up here on the Cave Show, which is brought to you by the one, the only, Maduro Fine Cigar and Tobacco located. Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get in there, let them know PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have. Always good to hook up with them. Always, always, always. You club member, get a lock back up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. Tons of games on. Always a ton of games on. Check them out. They do serve beer and wine now. And most importantly, an incredible selection of cigars. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Wine and Tobacco. Let them know that PLR sent you. Here at the Cave Show, they'll take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Call-in number is via the Kerry Lackey Law Line, 917-889-7828. If some of the topics you'd like to discuss, cool. If not, bring your own. I do have a caller on hold. I do have a guest joining at about a quarter after, the one, the only, Ed Smith from Easy Sports Talk Radio, NBC here in Phoenix, will be joining us. But until then, let's get these calls in. Thank you for holding. Appreciate your patience. This is PLR. Who am I speaking to?
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou once again.
Lou, what's up, buddy? How are you today?
All right. Well, just when we thought we heard it all and everything was fine between the Suns and the Wizards and whatnot, well, Austin Rivers has decided to part ways with the team only after in less than a week. Ugh.
Lou, you said less than a week?
That I was being kind.
Less than a day.
A few days. I was being kind.
I don't know how to say this without being laughed at, but the Suns have a pretty good rotation working now that I honestly think Kelly Oubre would add to. I think Austin Rivers would. Sometimes I honestly think Austin Rivers thinks he may be better than what he is, but the Suns are going to cut him anyway.
Mm.
So will
Dad take him back?
He's going to end up with the Grizzlies. Which is what was the – so basically what was supposed to happen, I could be mistaken. I could be 100% mistaken. Austin Rivers was going to come here. Kelly Oubre was going to go to the Grizzlies. The Suns were going to get picks, and who they thought was going to be Dylan Brooks, not Marshawn Brooks, and Ariza was going to go to Washington. So – in some ways, this trade is still that trade, but the Suns aren't giving up really anything other than Ariza. And so we'll see. I mean, I hate to say wins or losses on trades, especially when the team that's trading, that traded Trevor Ariza, was at the time the worst team in the NBA. So what really did they win, per se, or really what did they lose, per se? So I'm kind of – I really don't know how to what to say about that, but does it change the perception of what the Suns got back for Ariza? I'm sure a little bit. I'm sure the Suns would have loved to have possibly had Austin Rivers, but here's my point. Austin Rivers was – and I don't know the guy, so I don't want to speak illly about him like that, but he butted heads with Coach K at Duke. He's always thought he was better than what he legitimately is. He was down with the Pelicans, got traded to his dad's team. That, you know, butted heads, obviously, with some of the other players, went to Washington. Obviously, listen, you get traded for two reasons. One, because they think they're going to get a really good asset, and two, because they think that they're ready to move you on. So I'm not sure which one of the two outweighed the other one, but they moved him on. Technically came to the Suns, technically, and now he's going to end up with the Grizzlies. So I think after you get moved so many times, that stops becoming everyone else's problem. It starts becoming a you problem when you're constantly being moved.
I was, you know, figuring out if everything was fine a few years ago, and now all this happens.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know if everything was fine. You know, Austin Rivers, I think, will fit fine with the Grizzlies because he's going to be on a team that's halfway east, and he's going to be backing up Conley, who he should be able to learn a lot from. To be honest with you, when I look at Austin Rivers, I don't see point guard. I really don't. I wasn't really sure of how his fit would be. I thought he'd be a nice addition. I said it either on yesterday's show, I think it was yesterday's show, that I like the Suns' rotation now. And maybe if you bring him in with, you know, Booker and Melton and Crawford and give him some minutes here and there, it couldn't hurt the team, I would think. But maybe he's in a better situation because, you know, to help do what they're doing in Memphis. Memphis is always a team that seems like they're in need of more scoring. So maybe that's something he can help them with.
Yeah, maybe.
So we'll find out.
We'll find out soon enough. Yeah, because someone was asking me, do you think his fire will bring him back to the Clippers? I said no.
No, I don't, and here's why. His dad isn't in charge of player personnel anymore. Does that mean that you know, he doesn't have any input at all? I doubt that very seriously. I'm sure he still has a certain amount of input. But that just it didn't fit right. Too many people got rubbed the wrong way when he was there, and I just don't think that's something they want to get back into. The team is struggling a little bit now. It's a team that's played well this season thus far, and I don't think that's something they really want to get back into. I mean, if the playoffs ended today, they're a sixth seed in the West. So I don't know if that's something they want to get back into. Honestly, bringing Austin Rivers back to the Clippers. I will say this, though. If I was a fan, I bet Austin Rivers plays for at least more teams before his NBA career wraps up.
Yeah, the Astros signed a deal either Sunday or yesterday. Outfielder Brantley.
Yeah, we're just starting to warm up. All these pieces are going to fall where they fall until we get to the two big guns. And to be honest with you, that's what everyone's waiting for. Where does Machado go? I heard he's actually visiting my White Sox, which makes me very happy. And, you know, where does Bryce Harper go? Everyone else, in terms of casual fan, if it's for your team and you know it, great. But otherwise, where are these guys going? and how does it impact my team? And I think that's basically what it's going to boil down to.
Exactly. Okay. I know you don't follow soccer that much, but MLS is changing its playoff format next year.
Lou, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know what their playoff format was this year.
Well, it's a little bit weird. It was done by two game goal differential, which doesn't make any sense. And they always took like long breaks in between rounds. Next year they're going to do it differently. It's going to be one game each round, and it's going to be sped up. So like it's going to start like the playoffs will start like October 26th, and they'll end 2 weeks later, rather than, you know, wait like a month and a half between the conference championship and the final. So that'll make it a lot better.
I'm sure. You know what? Is the season over?
Yeah, the championship game was the night of the Heisman.
Oh, wait a second. Didn't Atlanta win?
2-0.
Okay. So, see, I am plugged in just a little bit.
Well, good.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, that's better than nothing at all.
Exactly. Hey, listen, before Ed calls in, though, I want to get your thoughts on the game last night. Riverboat Ron, is this going to be the end for him? Because them making the playoffs, slim to none. None left.
Yeah, wait, you mean the Saints, of course, right?
No, the Panthers. Do you think this is it for Riverboat Ron Rivera, the head coach?
Yeah, I would think so, especially after this disappointing season they've been having. But who am I to say? I guess we'll have to wait for Black Money to find out who's staying and who's going.
Yeah, you're 100% correct, and that Monday is... Isn't it crazy how that's become the Monday after the end of the season has become synonymous with people losing their jobs?
Yeah. It won't be a very happy new year, will it?
No, I've always found that crazy. This is the Monday where if you're going to get fired, you get fired. Could you imagine, like, if you work for, like, Chase, and at the end of the fourth quarter, like, that the report comes out on, like, a Tuesday, Wednesday is firing day. It happens every year. Some division heads are going to lose their job on this day. And if it was known for that, that's truly amazing.
Hey, I got one other thing for you before I do go. You know that, are you familiar with broadcasting Charlie Steiner?
Charlie Steiner, yeah. I remember
he's retiring. He's
retiring?
I'm like, how can you replace Charlie Steiner? Come on.
Oh. He, I think, had one of the top 10 ESPN commercials of all time with Evander Holyfield, when Holyfield is walking around the ESPN campus and, Charlie, come on, get this whooping. And he's like hiding under a desk. I thought that was one of the funniest commercials ever.
Well, I got a story for you. All right, think back to the 2003 Game 7 League Championship between the Dead Sox and the Yankees, Red Sox, excuse me. You can tell I'm a Red Sox fan. Anyway, my friend and I are driving home from the sports bar. It was getting late and everything, like after midnight and everything. We left at the end of the 11th inning. So we get in my friend's car. We turn on the radio broadcast, and Boone is just about. We're just playing my driveway. Boone is up. As soon as we hit the curb of my driveway, we heard the call from Steiner that Aaron Boone hit the home run, and my friend and I just went absolutely bananas. We woke up the whole freaking neighborhood that night. Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Way. There it goes. Oh, my goodness.
Oh. Yeah, that's the voice that'll be me.
But how that happened, just as when we were pulling into my driveway, and it's had like, oh, my God. I don't believe it.
Oh, that's great.
And you're going to replace Charlie. What are you thinking?
And it's a great story and a great memory.
Then again, who said he was thinking? Oh, boy. All right. I know that Ed's getting on, so I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Have a good one now.
All right. Thanks.
Always good to catch up with a little good friend of the program. Joining us right now on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, my man, my brother. I know you know he's going to get on me. You know he's going to get on me about those Suns. But it's a streak when it's three in a row. It's a streak, and I can talk about the streak. I'm going to write an article about the streak because they are streaking. The one and only Easy Sports Talk Show. You know him. He's the man. Pro football, pro baseball. Ed Smith. Ed, what's good with it?
What's going on, Brother Paul? Yeah, I see you strong on that narcotic, man. But they keep, every time you try to pull away, they pull you back in.
It's a streak now, though. It's not just a win. It's a streak. Two is a streak. Three is definitely a streak. They're streaking.
I ain't mad at you, man. Like I said, any hope is good. Any sign of hope is good. Now, how are they? I got to be honest, man. I've been just peeking at them. I haven't been watching, all the time. How are they playing in your mind?
You know the difference? The last three nights, more than any night in a row, was the first three nights that I've seen them put together a winning effort. See, I think earlier we talked about we just want to see an effort. And that effort was kind of like, it's an effort. We're going to put up this fight. But deep down, we know we're probably going to lose. But now, with Booker back, Warren back, they both are healthy. You can almost see the guys feel like, if we put this effort out there, we can win. And you see it in Josh Jackson, who's hitting threes like their layups, which I don't anticipate to continue, to be honest with you. But now he's doing it, so you live for now. DeAndre Ayton is playing a lot better. And I think it's a difference when you have Booker out there with him and not just a bunch of other guys. And honestly, with Trevor gone and not kicking dirt on Trevor at all, but it's good to see Mikal Bridges get those minutes. And we're talking Suns, so Ed, I got to hit you with this.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
Always
love it.
What'd you say?
I said, I love it.
Got to give them the proper love. But I think that's the difference, Ed. And you can relate to this, I bet, because from back when you played, you know there's a difference in playing with effort, and there's a difference with playing with winning effort.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the thing about it is players know when they're, half-stepping it, and they know. And I think what's happened is people have talked about this, you included, I think I mentioned it a couple times on my show, what we're seeing. And, players, they know they'll always tell you they don't listen to the chatter outside, but I guarantee these guys, as they're driving around the valley or listening to different shows, they're hearing what everybody's saying. And at some point, it's like a wake-up call. You either, you got some pride in what you're doing or you don't. I think the chatter has woken these guys up a little bit. And, sometimes it wasn't called tough love, right? So maybe that's kind of inspired them a little bit. But if you're seeing that, that's a great thing.
And real quick with that trade, just, Lou had brought it up before, just so everyone is caught up, if they haven't, if they don't know, but Austin Rivers is going to be bought out by the Suns. So he's not part of that trade. So in essence, the Suns, and honestly, I have no issue with this. People are saying, well, how does this impact the Suns trade if they're going to move on from one of the players already? I didn't see Austin Rivers. I said yesterday on the show that if he comes in, he could fit in rotation with Melton and Booker and Crawford and kind of fit in there, then fine. But if not, then fine. And I think this is one of those things where they're just getting the money, part of the money back that they would have got back from Ariza leaving. Kelly Oubre, I'm looking at a tweet right now, just basically said, I'm going to quote him, just know I'm going to kill everybody. If somebody gets in my way, they're going to get destroyed. So I think he understands this is an opportunity for him to move on, especially if this is a contract year. This is when he can get extended. So I think we're going to see a very motivated Kelly Oubre. And so you throw him in a rotation,
with the Mikal Bridges, and you know, with obviously up front you got DeAndre Ayton and Holmes, but you have T.J. Warren at that forward position. I honestly think Mikal Bridges, Kelly Oubre, and T.J. Warren is a real nice rotation for the Suns at the forward position.
You know, another thing too, I think this trade came at a good time for them. You know, obviously they're going as a five-game home streak. I think they're a road trip. I think they're going on next two tests up tomorrow against the Celtics. You know, kind of a see where the bar is right now. But like you said, it sometimes when you're going through the struggles, it's good to get out on the road a little bit. You know, get away from all the, you know, the bad talk here. And this might be probably a better time. Get out there, play a little freer, see where you match up right now. You know, cover up some of the blemishes, and they could put together a nice little streak for you. What do you think about this game on Wednesday? Are you giving them a lot of, you know, a good chance to win this one, or would you be surprised?
I mean, Boston at home, I'm always going to probably pick Boston at home over just about every team in NBA, with the exception of Golden State and probably Toronto, depending on how they're playing. So I think what I'm looking for and what I hope they're looking for is to compete with the mindset to win. Because right now Boston is – they're really catching Boston at a bad time because Boston is starting to get it back together. And they really don't have an answer for Kyrie. And because at the point guard position, you are giving up that position outright to him right now, that's a lot to recover from. Because I honestly believe – Kyrie is top 3-point guard in the NBA, and that's a lot to recover from when you don't really have a guy that is, let's say DeAndre Melton is a good defender. You could be a good defender, and Kyrie can still go to work on you. So that to me doesn't really. I think he's a great equalizer, and I'm not feeling good about going up against Kyrie and the Celtics.
Well, I'll be tuned in on Wednesday night, checking my phone, because if they are winning, I know I'm going to hear about it.
even if they're losing, you're going to hear about something. Yeah. You know I'm gonna text. I'm a Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only Ed Smith Easy Sports Talk. And I got a couple questions about football. I kind of want to play a little rapid fire with you. And if I miss the coach's name, I'm going to just give you the team, and you tell me if they're going to be fired or stay. All right?
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Buffalo's head coach, I think it's Marone.
Man, he's kind of middle of the road. I think because they've got the new quarterback and everything, they have shown signs of improving. I think he actually keeps his job.
New York Jets.
Foles, man, I'm telling you, early in the year, I thought he was doing so much with so little, but they've played so uninspired over the last few weeks. And, you know, they've got a mix of wins in here and there, but it doesn't look good for him, man. I think because of these offensive coaches, they might decide they want a new offensive brain in there to go along with the quarterback. So I think Bowles might be out.
Greg Williams in Cleveland.
That's a tricky one. I think they like what he's doing. I'm not sure if they necessarily think he's the best guy out there to be leading this young quarterback. They might, in my opinion, they might slide him back to a defensive coordinator if he'll stay and go find them a head coach. But if they try to do that, he might end up leaving there. I would say I'm iffy on him, on the fence.
Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati.
Got to go, man. Been too many years. I know they're always injured and there's always an excuse and they always bring them back. But what's that definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. I mean, at some point you got to get some new direction in there. And I love Marvin, but it's always the same thing.
Jacksonville.
Wow. I think your boy might come out of the head office and retake that one over because they've got after last year to revert to this year. I know your quarterback situation with Bortles, but they look like they have no direction. Defense, everybody's given up on that team. bad for a leader to be in that spot. And it looks like you couldn't stop a fourth-string quarterback last week, and it's time for him to go.
Denver.
Oh, man. Another brother. I hate to pick on him, man. They just look, he looks like more of a good coordinator than head coach. I mean, I know their quarterback situation is always up in the air, but I'm looking at the leadership and I'm looking like at, I guess the fire of the team, what they're all about. They have no identity, to be honest with you. And it all starts up top. And he could survive, but I think they probably, I think he will survive one more year maybe, but if he does go, I don't think it's not going to be a surprise to me.
Jason Garrett.
Oh man, they're going to backdoor the playoffs here. Not necessarily, I know they're going to earn it, but only reason they're going to earn it is because how bad the East has been this year. They're going to be a mediocre team, get in there. I don't see a playoff win because of their offense. Jerry's going to stick with him because, one, he wants to prove everybody else wrong, and Jason Garrett is the perfect puppet, excuse me for saying that, perfect puppet to have in place so he can do all the manipulating and make it seem like, somebody else is running the team, but obviously nobody else would want to come in there and do that job, to be honest with you.
Is Shermer gone in New York with the Giants?
Man, oh my goodness. They're going to keep him around because it's only been 1 year. Shermer, he was my tight ends coach in Philly in 99. Paul, I have absolutely no idea how this dude is a head coach in the NFL. Literally. I mean, I sat in meetings room with him. And I know the dude's good dude. He is a tight end / position coach / maybe offensive coordinator now. Absolutely. Unless he took some lessons from Tony Robbins or somebody like that to really, turn himself around and be the leader he's supposed to be, I never saw it then. I don't see it now. They'll keep him because it's too early for them to make a change, or they just gave him the job. But he'll survive, but he's not going to be there long.
Did you really say Tony Robbins?
Yeah. he needed that motivation, man, to find out the true beast within, Somehow he convinced himself and he convinced the owners of the Giants. I don't know how he pulled that one off.
Oh, wow. Philbin in Green Bay.
I think they're going to look for a more high-profile, more offensive-oriented guy. It seems to me that would be like replacing an old Band-Aid with a new Band-Aid. That dude, you got to get some new, fresh blood in there, in my opinion. And I don't think he's sexy enough to keep that position. He probably retains a spot within the organization, and they're probably already having these talks with him. But I do think they're going to want to go out and make a different splash to kind of freshen things up and kind of re-energize and keep Aaron Rodgers interested.
I know it's only 1 year. Matt Patricia in Detroit.
He'll keep it just because he's a Belichick disciple, and they would look like an absolute fool if they let him go this soon. But he's another one, better coordinator than head coach. They'll give him a second run at it. But as we know, the Detroit Lions eternally 7-9, 8-8, 6-whatever, 6-10. That's just a horrible organization from top to bottom, and they kind of get what they deserve because they just I don't think they do enough in terms of trying to bring free agents in. They bring, they're always just looking for the next coordinator to be their head coach instead of going out and finding someone truly innovative and stuff like that. And they'll be at this for the next two years, and then he'll return to New England to be a coordinator again.
I'm going to ask this as a group question. NFC South, obviously Sean Payton is going nowhere. Carolina, Atlanta, and Tampa Bay. I'll give you an Uber group rate on those three.
That is – never seen a division spiral as fast as it did. We all thought at the beginning of the year like this was going to be one of the powerhouse divisions. And their coach, so uninspired. You watch what Carolina did last night. They just look so uninterested. Tampa is just a mess. Had the wrong people in all sorts of positions at levels, you know, head coach, GM, franchise quarterback. They are a huge mess. Atlanta's the biggest disappointment of them all. They go from being a playoff contending team to a team that's basically a joke. I mean, they look horrible. And I know that, you know, I think he'll escape another year because of the success they had last year, but all three of those coaches should be bringing bags with them to the office the last couple of weeks just in case they get that word. It'd be a quick and easy way to pack this stuff up and get out of town.
And then I saved the local team for last. Steve Wilkes coming back.
I've heard the chatter that, because I've always said, look, you know, you can't judge somebody in 1 year, but if you look at his press conferences, Paul, from week one to week 16, here we are now, every last one of them is the same, well, we got to get better, and I take responsibility for that. And it's, you know, at some point, you've had some time to put your stamp on this and either get the guys in line or make some changes where you, you know, maybe shuffle guys on the depth chart. But, I mean, the problem goes there. You don't have a lot of talent. You know, so it's a mixture of things. I'd be surprised if he keeps his job after 1 year just because of how bad it looks. And I'm not necessarily saying even the results. I can take results sometimes, but if guys are out there flying around like their hair's on fire and I know they're giving 100%, I'm like, look, well, he's got the guys, you know, even Cleveland went through this a couple years in a row, you know, but they do not look inspired. They don't look like they're buying into anything that he has to say or his staff. And I don't see this as a situation where you just do pieces. You know, well, we'll change the tight ends coach and special teams coach and we'll keep him. I just think, man, ownership, and you know how fickle they are out here, it might be one of those things where they come in and there might be only a couple last men standing when it's all said and done, when they come in and hand out those pink slips, man.
On the Curry Lackey Law Line, the one only Ed Smith, Easy Sports Talk Radio. Last football question in terms of people going, coming, whatever. And this is really more of a quarterback question. Is Matt Ryan overrated? And I'll tell you why I say that. He's been in the league. Believe it or not, this is going on his 10 season. And he's 4-6 in the playoffs. And mind you, 1 year when they got to the Super Bowl, two of those victories came in those early rounds of the playoffs. Is it time for Atlanta to find the next young guy to either push him or start to move away from him?
He is one of the most overrated quarterbacks. I put him in the same category as Matt Stafford. They stuff the stats, you know, the sheets. If you have to go to a second-tier guy as far as your fantasy leagues, you might grab this guy. But as far as being consistent and winning, the one thing I do not like about Matt Ryan is there are no excuses for him as far as having weapons. You got Julio Jones, Sanu, Ridley, you've got running backs, Coleman. You know, you run down the list, you got decent tight ends in there. Offensive line has always been passable, yet you look around and here they are at the bottom. I mean, what, five wins maybe this year, I think it is? You can't.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no excuse at this point. And the people who argue for him, they're always, you know, well, look what he does, you know. I'm like, well, it's great to have 300 yards passing every week, you know, when you're coming from behind. Or, I mean, there's, like I said, the argument for Matt Ryan, you know what they'll never do is they won't get rid of him anytime. So they'll get rid of the head coach, maybe even change the GM before they get rid of him. He's almost like he gets a pass all the time. I don't understand. I haven't been over there in a while, but it seems like they hold him in high regard, very high regard, regardless of the outcome of these seasons. And then the other thing, he never typically plays well in the big games. You know, they had a chance to go up to Philly, I think it was last year, and beat them to go to the Super Bowl against Foles. And, they, I mean, they just pretty much just folded. I mean, it wasn't even, you know. So, like you said, that he is very overrated. I don't know why he continues to get the pass, but I guarantee you, especially I think he just signed a new deal a couple years or so ago, he's going to be there for quite a while, and they'll push it off on everybody else. And, you know, he'll continue to make that money and do what he does every year.
Okay, so I lied. One more quick football question. Is it time for the Cardinals? And then I was speaking to Earl Burnett about this yesterday. You have a GM who played offensive line, but for whatever reason, they can't find offensive linemen that can develop into professional offensive linemen. Is it time for him to go as well?
I mean, I always say, man, it all starts at the top, as far as you have to go up. And, you know, here in Arizona, we got bad ownership, you got bad GM, you got a bad head coach. So somebody at the top has to make that move. And quite honestly, they need to get some new blood in here in terms of coordinators, GM, possibly head coach as well. I hate to say that. But, I mean, it's going to have to be a total overhaul. And the thing that I continue to warn people about, it's possibly fathomable going to get worse before it gets better. So you're looking at this 3-11 right now, could end up being 3-13 season, and that's not to say that next year might not be even worse, man.
That's just absolutely crazy. Here on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Ed Smith, EZ Sports Talk Radio, NBC Sports Radio here in Phoenix. So Goldie is gone from the Diamondbacks. This may be Fitzgerald's last year with the Cardinals. And even if it's not, he's not saying he's Larry the face as a, more so than like Larry the game breaker. Does that leave Devin Booker as the face of sports for the city of Phoenix right now?
Wow, that is a dismal. And I'm not nothing against Booker. It's just a dismal kind of outlook in terms of what we have ahead of us. I guess he would be. You know, Rosen would have the opportunity, obviously, because he's the quarterback of the franchise. But he's, you know, he has those, and rightfully so, he has those deer in the headlights look right now because he is just getting punished. You know, and I'll tell you, because I know you probably watch the game, I've never seen a quarterback drop back, spin, and run backwards. It almost reminds you ever seen that movie, oh my goodness, is the one with Sinbad and all them when they took over
Replacement.
It wasn't The Replacement, it was the one that when they were in college though. I'll think about it.
You're not talking about Necessary Roughness, are you?
There you go. When they put that replacement quarterback in after they pulled the starter out and he's running around running behind the referee talking about blow the whistle. I mean, I'm looking at Rosen, and I'm like, golly, I can only imagine. So to get back to your question, I mean, he's got a potential to be, because he obviously is a quarterback, but I don't see that coming anytime soon. Diamondbacks, unless they make a huge splash in the free agent market, no. Golly, nobody pays attention to hockey for that much. So, yeah, I mean, it looks like Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, if he can ever hold up his end of the bargain, that might be it for a while.
It's really sad when you look at the city and the professional sports landscape right now. And, you know, I take my medicine with the Suns. I understand that. But you have a team that clearly isn't going to make the playoffs. And you can only hope that the young talent is going to continuously progress. But then you look at the Diamondbacks, who were a playoff team 2 years ago, made a run last year. But in all honesty, Ed, you know this. You played baseball. You need a name. You need a star when the playoffs start. I think it's all well and good. Everyone talks about how everyone comes together and chemistry. We hear that bull crap from Oakland every year. But you need some stars to take the pressure off the regular guy. And the Diamondbacks no longer have that because they let Goldie go. And then you look at the Cardinals, and it's been great to always go to Fitz and get your questions answered within. But that's about to end. You have the battle for the stadium in downtown Phoenix, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If this city is stupid enough to mess around over it, and it's not my money, so it's easy for me to say I live in Chandler, I don't pay taxes in Phoenix, but to let a professional team go when you're revitalizing downtown and you want to let 20,000 people not show up 48 times a year, and you think that's a good idea, I'm really starting to understand why people call Phoenix a big city in population, but a small city when it comes to pro sports.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that hurts us the most out here, Paul, is everybody here, majority of everybody here is from somewhere else, and they don't totally invest in the franchises. And in turn, you know, the ownership, I mean, they don't realize how important the fans are. You got to go create and turn people into devout fans, and they've never reached out and done that. So, you know, and going back to a point you made too earlier about the Diamondbacks, because they basically unloaded, you know what I really feel bad for? I feel really bad for my friend, manager Torrey Lovullo. He has been, I mean, he came here, did a great job first year. You know, they got to the playoffs last year. In my opinion, he worked magic just keeping them in the hunt till September with what they had as a roster. When you compared it to, like, the Dodgers and other organizations, like when the Dodgers went out and got Machado, I think it was in June, I said it was a wrap already. You know, it just took the Dodgers a little while to ramp up and eventually catch them and pass them. And the September schedule for the Diamondbacks was something I'd never seen before. Every team on it, minus the San Diego Padres, was a playoff team. So they worked magic. He is now going to be dealing with basically a AAA team against, you know, other major league rosters, and that's just not going to be a good sign. And it's going to be a long, long season. And, you know, like you said, our whole landscape here is just it went from so good, like with hope and promise, to so bad so quickly that, you know, we might be holding on. We might be having these same conversations two or three years down the line, how bad it's been, and will it ever get any better?
Thank God for the Sun Devils. Just remind everyone, too, the Territorial Park is located in Tempe. In case anybody forgot, I just want to give you reminders, Ed, that the Territorial Cup is here. And also just another reminder in case anybody forgot, there's only one team in the Pac-12 ranked in basketball right now. What a coincidence. It just so happens to be the Sun Devils. Oh, and there's another team ranked in the ladies' top 20 in basketball, and that just so happens to be the Sun Devils. And we talk about, and the reason I'm saying that, Ed, is because we talk about Herm, we talk about Charlie, we talk about Bobby, we talk about the hockey team that does well, baseball starting to come back, tennis is now back at ASU. We talk about all this. But there's an architect over there, Ed, named Ray Anderson, and I don't think he gets the love, and I'm going to keep saying it, but I don't think he gets the love that he should get nationally for being one of the best ADs in the country.
Well, I'm going to get out there and start supporting your Devils, man. And by the way, I went to the I got a late call yesterday, and I should have called you. I knew you were probably busy with the boys. I went over to that media day for the Hot Shots for this new American Alliance, you know, football league. Man, we need to probably go out there and support them a little bit. So I'll get you some information on that, and we'll see what we can do. And they'll be playing in your beloved stadium, too. And they had, and I wish I had that list with me right now. They had a couple of your boys in who are on the roster. They came in and did a little media talk with us. So ASU, the Sun Devils, will be surely represented by that organization to start out with.
Well, I mean, I may be taking a guess here, but a young Mr. Richard may just be their starting running back. I don't know. I don't keep up with this stuff. I don't know. But rumor has it, that's what I heard. Just like rumor has it, a young guy by the name of Kalen Ballage snapped off last week for the Miami Dolphins. But I keep up on these ASU stuff because too much stuff to keep up on a consistent basis. the bowl season has started, and I just wanted you to know, and I'm sure it's something you've been looking forward to. I sent a tweet out earlier. Hart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl. Now, I'm going to be updating this. I make sure every year that I don't miss the Cherry Fun Hart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl. And Ed, I know that's something we're going to get into tonight as well, no matter what else happens.
I thought you were making it up for a second there, man. There's so many doggone bowl games and so many crazy names and teams matchups that I can't say I'm actually excited to see. I got one game on my mind, maybe a couple of the scattered ones. We all know that Bama-Oklahoma game, I think, is on the 29th. And the rest of them, if I happen to be sitting in my comfy chair with the secondary TV on, it might get some love. But in my opinion, there's way too many bowl games these days, man.
Yeah, we will actually be out at the Cheez-It Bowl for sure. But I just don't know how you can miss this matchup tonight at the Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl. I mean, out of all the bowl games.
That's the one.
That's the one. I'm going to let you go on this. This is the one, the only Ed Smith, Easy Sports Talk, here on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, Cave Show with PLR. Ed, last night I couldn't sleep. Ended up shooting text over to our brother Ed Cole. I was watching Juice. It was on. I couldn't sleep. And it kept me up longer because you know I had to watch it to the end. Young Tupac, I couldn't pass on watching that movie.
Oh, no, that's one of those ones whenever it comes through, man, because one, you don't see it often. When you do, it's like, man, it brings back some great memories. And I got that one in the collection, man. I got it right up there on the shelf. And I'll be honest with you, man, every now and then I have to pull it off and fire it up, man.
Well, my man closed up when he closed the locker, and he said, "Understand, partner, when someone hits you with that phrase like that, partner, You don't turn your back."
Well, not just the phrase, man, the eyes. If you go back and look at it, the eyes tell the story. The words are one thing, but the eyes, you can look and see something was twisted behind those brows.
Yeah, it's amazing how he goes from Juice, which is a classic, to Poetic Justice, which was probably one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
Man, there was only one good line in that movie. That was one of the worst movies in the history of movies made, and Janet Jackson should be as far away from an actor's studio as possible. But let me see if I can say this on the show. Remember when, let me see, I'm fudging, trying to see how, it's the Punani line.
Oh, with her and her boss?
Yeah. I was trying to figure out a way to keep it PG, so I hope.
Yeah, no, you're fine. Yeah, that, you know what? And that was it. And it was at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, when I tell you, in my opinion, it's one of the worst movies ever made. That goes right along with Geely and all that other kind of garbage that's been put out there before by some of them big time supposed actors.
Yeah, Geely was bad. Geely was real bad. But you know what else was bad? Pluto Nash.
Oh, God. Eddie Murphy, he should be giving money back to the studios for a few of those. Yeah, he put out for all, yeah. That was, I didn't like that other one, too, the one where he was like a bull of himself or something like that. I can't remember. It was so bad. I walked out on it. Him and Steve Martin was in it. I can't remember what the name
was. Oh, Holy Man.
No, that's another bad one, but that's not the one. That's another one even worse than that.
Bowfinger.
No, there you go.
Yep, both.
That's another one. I was playing ball at the time, Paul, and I took a day off to treat myself to a movie. I got up and left maybe 30. I literally got up and left 30 minutes into it, and I was like, they can have that money. My time is worth more than that.
Yeah, Bowfinger was bad. Holy Man was bad. And you know what was a bad movie, but for some reason I know I liked it, was The Golden Child. I think that's had just enough one-liners to keep you in.
I got that. Hey, me and you, man, we're right there. We are right there. I actually got that one in the collection, too. We are right there, bro.
Yeah, bro. I can hit you with a couple of those lines. I love it when he says, "I've stolen from my brother, Saddam Numsi."
Oh, there's some good ones in there.
Yeah, that dog, I'm poetic. Poetic Justice. Talking about it. When I got done watching that movie, Ed, I said, now everyone knows Janet Jackson has always been my number one. And I just watched her star in the movie with the mail truck. that drove from L.A. to San Francisco and gave up an hour and a half of that of my time. And then I started thinking, has Janet ever been in a movie where she can actually act?
Here's how bad it is, Brother Paul. She couldn't even chew gum. I mean, she couldn't act and chew gum. The way she was chomping on that gum. I mean, come on. That was so bad. Now, you actually made it through the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. I watched the whole thing.
Oh, no.
I've only walked out on one movie my entire life ever, and it was Girl 6.
Oh, yeah, that was bad, too. Yeah. But yeah. No, I've walked out on a few of them, man. I could run down a short list for you, but Bowfinger, Poetic Justice, I think I watched that when I bought it on DVD. I got about 30 minutes into it, took it out the DVD player, put it back into the case, and took it back and traded it in.
Well, hey, on Girl 6, because you know the only good thing about the movie was Prince did the soundtrack, but
yeah.
Towards the end of it, I literally was like, I can't take this anymore. We got to go. And I had free passes to see the movie, and I actually asked for the free passes back. I said, I at least get my passes back? Come see something else? And the lady at the movie theater down over on Longmore and Southern, because they used to have about four theaters, she looked at me, and she was like, are you being serious? I'm like, I'm being serious. I bought popcorn, I bought candy, and I bought pop. So you guys made money off of me. But I really want my free pass back. don't even count like we saw the movie. Like, pull us off the deal that says we saw the movie.
you were justified in asking for your passes back, too.
Yep. And she was so set back by the fact that I asked for the money or the movie passes back. She actually gave me the movie passes back. And she didn't know what to do because I think it caught her off guard. Just like I saw a terrible movie called Baby's Daddy with Anthony Anderson and Eddie Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
Here, we had to, you know, register and, you get to see the premiere at Arizona Mills. And I was about to leave. And my friends were like, we can't walk out. We asked to see the premiere. We got to see it all the way through. Man, this movie
I never even took a chance on that one. I just assumed that was bad. It wasn't even worth my time.
The movie had an hour and 32 minutes. Black Dad's Back 30 years. Don't see it.
I never will. You never had to tell me that. I'm never going to see that.
But tell everyone how they get a hold of you. Not how they took up all your time talking about these bad movies.
Man, I always love the conversation. They can check me out every Saturday on NBC Sports Radio, 1060 AM, from 10 to 12. The Easy Sports Talk show jumps off. Also, if they want to catch up with me, edsmithspeaks.com. And I got this new thing, man, my community I'm working on. EdSmith.Corlink, CORLINC, no E and a C at the end, EdSmith.Corlink.com, kind of keep you up with all the things I'm working on.
I never use
that Ed Smith Speaks.
You know how you know you never use Twitter? You said, oh, yeah. Oh.
Just popped into my head.
And by the way, congratulations from PLR Jr. on your championship in the Fantasy Football League.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a great showing in some other leagues, but I'll take that title.
Well, when we hook up, I got to get you the gift card. He was so funny. He said, now, Dad, if I win, I get a gift card. So then when he said I lost, he said, so, Dad, I owe you how much, $10, $15? I said, it's five, son. I think I can cover you this one time. And next year, you're on your own.
Tell him to pull some money out of that kickback. And also say, congratulate him for his first season playing with us. I was thoroughly impressed. And every time I played him, I was scared that I was going to take a beating by him. So tell him he did very well.
I will tell him for sure.
We'll tell him for sure. Hey, my brother, I appreciate you hopping on and us getting caught up on sports. And like I said, stay away from that Big Daddy movie.
You got it, brother. Hey, and I'm sure I'll talk to you before then, but happy holiday to all your listeners, and you and I will be talking, obviously.
Hey, bro, and I'll catch up with you later for sure.
Appreciate you, brother Paul.
All right, you too. Talk to you later. That was one only Ed Smith, Easy Sports Talk Radio. Man, always good to get caught up with him. I have so much insight. It's rare that you speak to an athlete that has done so much. You know, football, basketball, baseball. He played professional football and baseball, but he was an all-state basketball player in high school. Just an all-around freak of nature athlete. Tomorrow, we have C.J. Holmes of The Athletic. He's going to join us, get us caught up in some sports stuff as well. All calls made for the Terry Lackey Law Line. Always. Thursday, have a day off. The show will actually be hosted by our intern, Ryan Dorfman. Like, dude, I'm not the intern anymore. Intern Ryan. But that's Thursday, so like I said, make sure you are joined at 1 o'clock here at Facebook. Make sure you're following us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and page at the Sports Table, $30 a day. Get us directly. The Power 5 is up at sportstable.com, $30 a day. Check that out. Well, the number one team, your team. Let me tell you, gotta go and look. Then you can get me directly at LR Sport. Sure, you check me out as well. We have some news on ASU basketball, men's and women's recruiting information on ASU football team, along with the news on the show tomorrow. And like I said, we're definitely going to be covering Cheez It Bowl out here in Phoenix. So, until next time tomorrow, this has been the Cave Show, the PLR. Everyone, have a tremendous rest of your Tuesday. See you tomorrow.